You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Twelve minutes after nine on Thursday. Joining us is our friend, our colleague from the great state of Texas, Michael Musselman, getting his Botox shots today. Have you got your shots yet?
Yeah, I'm done.
You're done? How do you feel?
I feel good. I feel tired, but I feel good.
You sound tired.
Tired.
Why are you tired?
Because it's just, I don't know, it takes, for some reason I get tired afterwards.
You get tired after you get your Botox shots? I thought you were gonna live stream the Botox event today.
Yeah, I didn't have my phone with me.
You're like off your game. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm just tired.
Well, that's not like you. Normally you're a pretty peppy guy around noon.
Right. Yeah, not today. Today's not one of those days.
It's not one of those days? Okay. All right. What do you want to talk about? You want to talk about what? So what do you do when you get tired? Do you just go and lay down?
What's that? Yeah. So I had it done early this morning, so if I would lay down, then I wouldn't answer the phone.
Oh, really? So when you lay down, what do you do? Do you go to sleep?
Go to sleep.
Do you watch TV? Don't be like that, okay? Don't be like that.
What? You asked me a question. Like, what do I do when you lay down in bed?
Well, you didn't say it was in bed. It could be just on the couch. You could be resting. I normally turn on TV, watch a movie. I normally don't go to sleep. Blah, 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 blah. Right?
Yeah, probably more like I fall asleep.
Oh, okay. All right. So you're going to fall asleep? So you're going to go to sleep after we get off the phone here?
I'm going to take a nap, yeah.
You might take a nap. How long when you take a nap? Do you take long naps? Short? Are you a short nap guy?
Hour. Like an hour, yeah.
Yeah, I don't. Have you heard people that say, "Oh, I just want a quick nap, 15 minutes." I can't do that. Yeah, if I'm gonna take a nap, it's like I gotta go to sleep for a while. Okay, this like, and people like it's a power nap. There's nothing powerful about that. You just wake up and you're tired.
Yeah.
Hey, would you do me a favor? Would you like read Montana Man in that we don't text during the baseball games, okay? He's violating some important rules of the road. So I think you got to read him in for the program. Okay.
I know. I'll get him in the program.
He's one of your Red Sox boys, so you got to reel that ass clown in, okay? We have a
they were playing like crap last night. I mean, that was like,
we have rules, though, okay? When in the midst of the conflict, we don't communicate.
Right.
Because we can't contain it, okay? It cannot be contained. So if it starts, then it's just going to – it's better than if we don't do it. So we don't. Mike and I don't. But Montana Man, late to the party. Okay. What channel is the game on? Oh, Mookie's up next. I'm reading it like, really? And I'm thinking, where's the gunner to reel this Clem in? I don't know.
Didn't happen. I'm sorry.
Gunner just let it go. I'm like, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything. So anyway, getting hot in Texas. I saw it was in the mid-70s early this morning. What's going on?
Now yesterday was really nice too. The wind was nice. It was cool. I mean, the 70s is nice, man. If it could stay in the 70s for a while, that would be nice.
Interesting. There's an article in Marine Corps Times about that Osprey crash.
What? I didn't hear about this.
No. The one that last summer. The 31st MU, how a lack of aircraft emergency escape training ended in tragedy in Australia, MV-22 crash. Well, the truth to that is when 23 of 26 get out, I think you heard everybody who came on the program to talk about it said, that's a miracle in and of itself. That's a win.
Oh, yeah.
That's a win. And so But the it goes through the investigation and it talks about how the battery was not considered quote unquote frequent flyers, and so they had a very mixed bag in terms of. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, Mike. No, because we've already talked about,
we've talked about it at right. Nausea, yeah.
But they had guys didn't put on their seatbelts, and they had a whole bunch of gear that was adrift. How do you – that will always be the case in a helicopter.
That will be – you do it 100 times and no problem, and then it's just that one time, one occurrence that will bite you in the ass, man.
But there's guys who won't – there's guys who won't fasten their seatbelts.
Well, that's the leadership then. There's got to be, a stick leader, a chalk leader, someone that's responsible to make sure everybody does this. I don't care who you think you are. Everybody follows the rules. And where's the enforcement? Who's that guy?
Yeah, who's inspecting? Who's walking down the middle to make sure they see everybody buckled in? What are those cases called? What do we call those cases that we take with?
What do you mean?
We put stuff in cases. They're, those black
cases. Oh, Pelican cases?
Pelican cases. Pelican cases and the people that weren't strapped in when the thing hit, impacted, right, they all flew to the forward part of the cabin. And so the crew trying to get people out was trapped by 6 or 8 Marines and then a whole bunch of Pelican cases. Anything you can do about that? Guys are holding that stuff. Guys, it's under their feet.
It should be strapped in.
Strapped in.
Yeah. And normally, they put that stuff because I don't know what kind of mission it was. If it was I don't think a battery's going to do an assault.
No.
They're coming in later on.
They would come in to man guns and set their shit up, right?
Yeah. And normally what they've done in the past, we used to fly in the 53s was on the tail ramp, they would strap all that, the Pelican cases and stuff. They put up like a pile of it, and then they use the cargo straps to strap it down.
Strap it all down. Wasn't done in this case, evidently. And in those cases are computers and things that do fancy stuff for artillery guys. But evidently that was an issue too. So that in the news today. Eric Smith is going to get a third star in Command 1 MEF. Lou Caporata, destined for a fourth star, but he'll take his third star and go out to be MAR-4 PAC. Two guys you know. So. And there was a lot of people who did not think General Smith would go anyplace else after he was scolded, according to Marine Corps Times, for his overzealousness in eliminating hazing in the 1st Marine Division. And I said, maybe the lawyers had a problem with it, but I probably would have done the same thing. I'd have probably said, hey, this is bullshit. Stop it. Make it go away. And so I don't.
They're good for Eric.
Yeah. So he's a good buddy of yours, of both of ours. So he'll head out to Hawaii. And so
Eric Smith, you mean Lou?
Lou's going to Hawaii, and Eric Smith going across the interstate to down to live the good life at Del Mar.
Yeah, he moves into the big house.
Yeah, with the big house where the that's one of the when you work for the MEF, one of the nice things is you work right on the water. It's a nice. That's
yeah. I mean,
and you're close to the freeway.
The MEF CG's helm is right there on the water. It's right.
I've never been to that. Where is it? Maybe we should.
It's just north of the camp on the officer's housing.
Oh.
Or south of the camp. I'm sorry, south. Just south of the camp.
And it's beautiful. And then the other thing, compared to the division at Camp Pendleton, it's right off the freeway. So, you get off the freeway, and it's another 20 minutes to go to be part of the division. You get off the freeway, and in 5 minutes, if there's no traffic.
Well, you get off the freeway, you're in one MEF.
You're in one MEF, yeah. No, it's pretty cool. So congratulations.
Get off the freeway, cross the bridge, and boom, you're there.
Yeah, congratulations to both those guys. Longtime friends and good Marines. So good for the Pacific Coast of the Marine Corps. Let's see, what else is going on in the news? Any thoughts on Israel and Israel and Iran trading gunshots. Any thoughts on that? You haven't been paying attention. You've been focused on your other.
No, I haven't been paying attention, but good on them, man. Let them decimate Iran. You know, Iran picking on Israel. Come on, you idiots.
Yeah, that's not, you probably don't want to do that. You know,
yeah.
Again, I, at some point, it'll be interesting, Mike, when, for instance, the missiles that got shot at quote unquote Israel yesterday were shot into the Golan Heights and there was no civilian casualties. The first time Iran shoots into Israel proper and has a civilian casualty, it'll be interesting to see what the Israelis do. Will they then shoot into Iran and create casualties in Iran? Because that's what needs to happen to Iran. Iran likes to play this proxy game where, you know, maybe their advisors get killed, but nothing really happens to them. Iran needs to pay. They create too much shit in the region. And in my opinion, they need to play a home game. They need to pay. And they're shooting rockets or missiles at Riyadh in Saudi Arabia, from Yemen. And that's the missiles come from Iran. And so I think it's time for them to pay. And I don't have any problem. I don't have any problem with that. So that in the news. Let's see. What else can we talk about? Email. Hey, Mac, would the gunner please explain his Botox? I've heard of this, but this is the first time I've ever kind of had access to anybody who's actually done it. One, would you recommend it to other people? Two, what exactly does the procedure involve, and does it find it debilitating for any period of time? So, Mike, share with the group?
It's not debilitating. I mean, if you suffer from chronic migraines, then go see your neurologist and say, you know, tell him, hey, I heard about this thing. I'd like to see it. I would like to be a candidate. There are some doctors that probably are, I don't know why, but against it. But the results, for me anyway, are fantastic. So, and I've seen people that I know here that do it in town, and they get the same thing, so.
What had you tried before this, Mike? Just so people have an idea.
Oh, I've tried everything. I mean, literally everything. Acupuncture, herb stuff. I mean, you name it, and I've tried everything.
Really?
And
acupuncture
seemed to work.
Acupuncture, herbs, and then whatever they would normally prescribe you, all the prescriptions you've probably taken as well.
Oh yeah, from anti-seizure medication, Nebivol, but that just makes you lethargic. So it keeps you all drugged up.
Right. And so, but this is not something that the VA recommends, yes?
When I was doing it, when I was dealing with them, yeah,
they would not.
They would not.
But now,
I don't know. I don't know what their policy is now.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah. Why, you know, another email. Why in God's name would they be opposed to it? That's stupid. It goes on. And let me explain when I say stupid, I don't mean just like normal stupid. That's really fucking stupid. Let me tell you how fucking stupid it is, Mac. And then in parentheses, I hope you don't mind me loading the F word in here. No, we're not afraid of the F word. The email goes on. I read that we're studying using things like meth and other drugs to treat PTSD. But we won't use something like Botox. Why? Because it's too expensive? It makes me want to vomit. Some of these stories I read about keeping people on drugs that are clearly either hallucinogenics or other drugs that are detrimental to their health blow me away. So let's make him more addicted to this drug. Let's not find a way for him to continue with his life because maybe it might be too expensive. I got it. Stupid, 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 stupid. And there's about another 20 stupids that I won't read. So You know what? That is a great frustration. You know, why would you not do it? If it's working, why would you not do it? So, and you got blowback from the VA, didn't you, when you initially asked, or no?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They looked at me like I was.
Yeah, I thought I remembered that.
I was on drugs.
I thought I remembered that as part of the story that you asked, and like, what? Like, no, that ain't happening. So, yeah, the question is, why isn't it happening? I don't get it. Like, but and then you read these other studies. But yeah, let's experiment with marijuana. Let's experiment with, is it ecstasy that I'm thinking about? I can't remember what drug that I'm thinking about that I've read that the VA has indicated interest in seeing if it works. And you just go, really? More drugs? Have you not got the memo? We don't want to be drugged. Can you not find us other things? So anyway, just thought, any more thoughts on Botox? Is it, does it, how many shots is it? Do you get
35?
35 shots.
35 in the head.
35 yeah, in the head. And so it's around the crown of the head, the base, or all over. Where do the shots go?
Well, no, it literally starts from the center of your forehead, like between your eyes, and then they go all the way around, and then into the neck as well.
Okay, so when you say they go around, so center of the eyes, take us around your head. Where do the shots go?
They go from center in your forehead, right, along the hairline, right, and then in your hair all the way around above your ear, okay, around your scalp, you know, okay, so like all around.
Got it.
And then down in the back of your neck,
okay,
and then down to your shoulders.
Into your shoulders. Wow.
Well, like we're right at the shoulders meet your neck in that base.
And then how long does it take to feel normal again? You said you feel tired, you need a nappy.
Yeah, like tomorrow morning I'll feel perfect. I mean, I'll feel the best I've ever been. So usually it's like one day.
All right. You and I talked about the timeline before, but and I would say months ago, maybe 6 months ago, the week before, and the reason I would remember this, because Mike would call and say, hey, I can't come on today, and he hasn't done that in a while. Did you refine the timeline, or did your body get used to it? How did you how has the timeline changed for the injections so that you don't go through that last week, or do you still go through?
No, I still do. Oh. Yeah, like the last 10 days suck before you get it again.
Oh.
So
it didn't seem to suck. You've been like pretty normal.
No, it always sucked.
Oh, really?
No, I just didn't complain.
We like tough.
It sucks. So.
We like tough guys. The all right, another email about Botox. So how is the gunner paid for it? Does he pay for it out of pocket? If it's expensive, that must be crazy. No, Mike, explain to everybody what insurance you have.
Because my insurance picks up, you know, I pay for medical insurance, so I don't go through the VA. I don't use VA medical, whatever. They wouldn't cover it. So
Mike has,
I pay out of my own pocket.
Mike has the good insurance.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah. No,
does pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, he has the good insurance. So, yeah, that's who pays for it. So, Mike, so who do you get the treatment from? Your insurance gave you a list, or were you referred to someone?
No, my doctor referred out to a neurologist. The neurologist, then my neurologist is the one that does it, so.
Got it. All right, any other things?
That's simple.
Any other things we ought to know about Botox?
No, that's about it. I mean, like I said, go talk to your neurologist. I mean, I can't describe it for you. I don't know if you're a candidate. I don't know if it'll work well for you. I just know for me, I get good results. So I'm not complaining here.
No. All right. I'm going to let you go. Go take a nap.
Yeah, I'm going to. Thanks, man.
All right, bud. Have a good one. See ya.
All right. I'll talk to her.
The Gunner, Michael Musselman. On a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio. Yeah, the Botox thing. Isn't it amazing, though, when you think about it? Like, yeah, Botox, yeah, we're not so much about that, but yeah, marijuana, ecstasy, other drugs. Yeah, well, yeah, we're experimenting with that, you know. It may hold promise for treating it. Like, really? I don't, you know, powerful drugs? I don't see where that helps you live a better life. Those drugs are powerfully addicting drugs. So, again, I default to Boulder Crest and those kind of treatments. When I see somebody, you know, advocating, you know, hard, addictive, powerfully addictive drugs, nah, that doesn't make me feel good. It doesn't make me feel like we're doing the right thing for people. And so anyway, we'll take a break. More of Allmarine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
All I can say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place!
Ah!
interesting email. I didn't get to it yesterday, so let me get to it now. Yesterday. Hey, Mac, what do you think of the new pick to lead the CIA? What are your thoughts on the whole torture thing? I would not eliminate, you know, waterboarding as, first of all, look, don't say, well, what about Americans? Do you know what happens to Americans if they're captured? Yeah, it's like, oh, maybe they won't do it if we don't do this? Come on, man. I think that's like you're kidding yourself if you don't think that they're doing that. You know, if anybody got captured in Iraq, you got killed. You got killed, and your body got eviscerated beyond recognition. Yeah, you'd have to be identified using DNA. So is somebody else gonna, you know? So here, what I would say is this, you know, what I would say is that our official position is we don't torture. Okay. Yeah. Will you use extraordinary means if you thought somebody had time sensitive information to extract that from them? I think it's my duty to the American people to do that. Oh, you've engaged in torture. Yeah, if you want to define it as such, I would choose to use the term enhanced interrogation techniques. And you know, and General Mattis says I can get more from, you know, a beer and a pack of cigarettes. Maybe. And let's hope so. Okay, but when the beer and pack of cigarettes don't work, and you think that person, again, general information, probably not. You know, I don't think having read a little bit about it, I don't think it's effective in that. But what I wouldn't do is I would not rule out using it. You know, it depends on the situation. Now, what would make you use it? It would have somebody that would have to have some type of time-sensitive information. And you knew they had it. And so you were, you know, you set out trying to, you know, get the information to save American lives. Now, if short of that, you know, I wouldn't make it. It certainly shouldn't be a regular practice. And it should only be used in extraordinary means. So, I would not take the pledge and say I won't use it. I would not take that pledge. So, that's just my opinion. I think it should be a tool in the arsenal, and we don't use it often. But if we ever did need to use it, it would in fact be there for us to use. So that's somebody sent me an email yesterday about that. I believe that, you know, oh, you know, torture, and it's not what we stand for as, you know. Do you remember the days after September 11th? What was going to happen? You know, might there be other, you know, dirty bombs and other types of weaponry that were going to be used to kill thousands of Americans? Let me just say this about all of that. Do you think the President of the United States, if we thought that was going to happen, that he would not sign an executive order that waived that provision of whatever, saying that we would not use that, and in this specific case authorize it? Do you think that he wouldn't do that? I think we become, as Americans, you know, we do become that voice that I use, you know. And, I mean, John McCain is, you know, from his deathbed, he's opposing the confirmation of, I can't even remember her name. I mean, she's a good CIA operative, right? Don't even remember her name. She's been in the news forever. Hold on. This whole issue of registering to be a news organization and those legitimate news organizations be somehow differentiated from anybody who wants to do news, from me saying that I'm a news source. Yeah, because trust me, when you get categorized as a news source by Google, then that's a big deal. You get huge play. And what they do is they send their little bots into your website and they look at your content. And depending on how many times you use certain words, depending on, you know, the construct of your website, they either say that you're news or you're not news. I'm not news. I'm something else. So, I should probably correct that. Whatever they need, I should probably get after. Yeah. We're doing all right, though. I can't even find an article about her. Another interesting article. Trump announces capture of 5 most wanted ISIS terrorists who were lured from Syria to Iraq with fake Telegram app messages, including top aide to caliphate leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. This is as of 07:53 Eastern Daylight Time this morning. President Trump tweeted that 5 top ISIS leaders have been captured. Iraqi agents took one of them in February, Ismail al-Awathi, a top lieutenant to ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. They used al-Awathi's cell phone to reach 4 of his top commanders with a Telegram messaging app and lured them into a trap. The ISIS terror army was created in 2012, blah, 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 blah. The article goes on. A jubilant President Donald Trump announced Thursday on Twitter that 5 of the most wanted leaders of ISIS have been captured. It goes on to talk about how they lured them into a trap. Hashimi described, he's the Iraqi spokesman, Hashimi describes Ithawa, E-I-T-H-A-W-I, Ithawi, as a direct aide of Baghdadi, responsible for fund transfers to the group's bank accounts in different countries. Iraqi agents used the messaging app on his phone to lure other Islamic State commanders to cross the border from Syria into Iraq, where they were captured. Those held include Saddam Jamal, a Syrian who served as the group's governor of Syria's eastern caliphate region. Hashimi described Ithawi and Jamal as the 2 most senior Islamic State figures ever to be captured alive. The capture of all 5 was announced on Iraqi State TV on Wednesday. And what happens here is when you capture these guys, you get on their phones, and it becomes a race, right? It becomes a race. And in fact, you saw that the capture of Ithawi, he was captured in February, not a word of it. Because as you do sensitive side exploitation of his phone and try to lure others, it's kind of curious as to why when they captured these 4 that this became a story overnight. Somehow or other, that word must have got out into their network already. Following Ithawi's capture, Iraqi and American intelligence agents were able to uncover bank accounts used by the group and also secret communication codes that he used. Apart from Ithawi and Jamal, the operation captured three field commanders, Syrian Mohammed al-Qadir, two Iraqis, Omar al-Karbouli and Issam al-Zawabi. The noose is tightening around him, Hashimi said, referring to Baghdadi, whose real name is Ibrahim al-Samara. Baghdadi declared himself the ruler of all Muslims in 2014. Yeah, that's not working out well for him. I'm not a Muslim expert. I've been around him a little bit. The Iraqi Air Force has carried out several airstrikes since last year against Islamic State positions in Syria. Blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, film at 11. So that's good. That's a good news story, huh? Here's one. Mac, do a search on CIA. You'll find her. Her name's Gina Haspel. And Senator John McCain, as I said, from his deathbed, essentially, being very vocal about rejecting her. So, I think we all forget very easily. So I don't think it's, I think it's easy to say in public and it's easy to defend in public. I think in the aftermath of something like September 11th, I think the nation becomes very callous to those kind of arguments in that, he's got information, but he doesn't want to cooperate and that's okay with us. And that's how it goes? That's how it goes. Okay. I guess. Okay. It just doesn't, you know, you go back to that point in time, and that's not how it works. When you're looking at news headlines, it's kind of interesting that the missile exchange, the Russians said that 50% of the Israeli missiles that were fired were shot down. Here's another email. Mac, thanks for putting up that link. I just checked it out. I would tell others that are interested in the region to use it. I'd never seen this kind of map before. Pretty cool. Yeah, it's a if you go to the read board page of All Marine Radio, you're gonna see a link that says follow the Israel versus Iran fight, and it says click on the map to go to the site. So you click on the map, and guess what? You go to the site, and then what it has is simply it has the information on the most recent attacks. So it has a map of who's who in the zoo, so you can see who's doing what to who in Syria. And it has a little scheme for what's controlled by the government. It has what's controlled by the U.S.-led coalition. It has areas in which the ISIS is still active and controls area. So it's always interesting when you see an American flag pop up, you're kind of like, what's that about? There's a part of Iraq between its old Al-Anbar province. Kind of interesting to look at it. And there's a whole series of Iraqi, for instance, I just clicked on the Iraqi flag, Iraqi intelligence service. According to our information, ISIS chief Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi is in al-Hajin in Syria. Interesting. So you just zoom in on any region that you want to check out, and and that is, let's see, where is that? That is just across the border. The Iraqi border short of Al-Qaim. No, I'm sorry, just past Al-Qaim. So if you're coming out the western part of Iraq, the arrests took place in the Al-Qaim area, which is right on the border with Syria. If you continue across the border, there's a small stretch of land in the Euphrates Valley, once you cross Syria, that is still labeled as controlled by ISIS. So anyway, so you see an American Special Forces, American flag there. On May 6, U.S. troops are participating in a new offensive by the Syrian Democratic Forces against the Islamic State. And that's out in the, across, just barely across the border with Iraq and Syria. It would be north of Al-Qaim, for those of you that have been to the region. So anyway, so you see an American flag, you're like, oh, what's that? And it got in the news. So, and then if you go a little bit further, so from Al-Qaim, if you go further up the river, what you see is this area where they believe Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. So again, all that stuff on the map. For instance, when something happens in Turkey, if you just scroll up, you scroll north on the map, you can see, different areas that are controlled by rebels. You can see areas that are controlled by Turkey. You can see, it's all laid out on the map. So, as you begin to look at this region, it helps. It helps. You can see where government forces are. You can see where all the players are. So, yeah, it's very cool. Very cool map. I don't know how I ran across it. I ran across it just reading, I think. And so good stuff. The probably what I'll do for Monday is I'll do a round table. And I'll get some infantry guys, and I'll read you the letter right now that was written to the Commandant of the Marine Corps by a captain by the name of Michael Adkins. I'll see if I can track Adkins down and see if he'll come on. And then we'll talk about the Commandant's response. Here's his letter to the Commandant of the Marine Corps, Robert Neller. General type. Good morning, sir. I understand this may be unorthodox, a captain writing you directly, but I hope you will at least hear me out. My only aim is to provide you with a view from the bottom up and ask a question that my fellow infantry brethren and I hold close to our hearts. New paragraph. Why are we lowering the standards that determine who receives the honor and responsibility of leading infantry Marines as an infantry or ground intelligence officer? Question mark. There can be no debate that we have lowered the standards by changing the graduation requirement of the infantry officer course. The combat endurance test is no longer a graduation requirement. Passing is optional, period. Instead of 6 evaluated hikes, there are now 3, one of which, the heavy weapons hike, has been drastically changed in form and content, with an end result that is significantly less difficult. Period. Additionally, with the recent publication of many aspects of the course training plan, uncertainty, once a pillar of the course, has almost been completely degraded as a training tool. The course's attrition rate, at roughly 25% in 2014, is down to 10%. Senior leadership has stated publicly that they hope to bring that number down to 5%, and that was the article. Jason Bohm, who's the commanding general of training and education, I think in Quantico, he's the one that stated that. End of paragraph. Our Marines deserve to know why less is being demanded of their future platoon commanders. I fear that if we ask less of our men and women, they will give it to us. The Corps is surging technology and capability to its rifle platoons, and rightfully so. Yet we simultaneously lower the benchmark requirements that determine who leads them. New paragraph. I write this letter motivated solely by a deep and abiding love for our Corps. I and many other Marines I respect most are worried for the future of the infantry. Signed, Captain Michael Adkins. And the Commandant wrote back. I'll read you the response, and then on Monday we'll discuss it because I'm out of time. Captain Adkins, let me respond to your letter. Up front, I am a non-IOC grad. IOC did not exist in 1975, 1976. I neither did the combat endurance test. The CET began in 1994 as an assessment and was not considered a graduation requirement until 2012. That said, though I am sure I would have benefited from attending IOC, I still feel qualified to speak on infantry officer training and development. Of all the things we have changed in our Corps during my 42 years in uniform, the most significant is the establishment of individual MOS standards. These standards are now codified for each MOS in their respective training and readiness manual. The current IOC curriculum is now more tightly aligned to formal standards. I need to make clear to you and other readers, all IOC graduates possess the physical, mental, and moral attributes to lead infantry Marines in combat. I believe that our infantry officer course remains the most challenging of its kind in the world, and for good reason. Much is expected of these officers. That will not change while I'm Commandant, so allow me to address your concerns. The Combat Endurance Test, originally called Grunt Stakes, the CET's purpose remains as originally intended, a demanding physical, mental, and resiliency test to evaluate the potential of an officer to successfully complete IOC. Any officer who successfully completes the basic course is assigned an infantry. Any officer who successfully completes the basic officer course, otherwise known as TBS, is assigned an infantry or ground intelligence MOS and demonstrates the fortitude to complete the CET will be brought into IOC training. I assure you that anyone who quits or drops out of the CET will not start the course. I have told the IOC director and staff that any Marine who they believe lacks the physical, mental, or moral attributes to lead infantry Marines in combat will not graduate IOC, which means that thing is no longer pass and fail. And just remember, it wasn't pass or fail until 2012. Okay, so the question is, you know, why did it become pass or fail, and does that, can you defend it when you look at the course requirements as laid out in the MOS manual? All right, these are the course requirements, these are the standards, right? And those two things sync up. They shouldn't stink up. Hikes. The number of hikes/foot movements under load remains the same. There are 9. Previously, 5 of 6 had to be completed with the prescribed load and within the designated time to graduate. Now it is 3 of 3, all aligned with the infantry TNR. The weapons company movement was changed to make it more realistic to an actual tactical movement. Okay, now I'm going to read between the lines here when we get done, and we'll close on that. Next paragraph, attrition. Attrition cannot be the mission of any training regimen. The mission of IOC is to train infantry officers capable of leading Marines in combat, not to sustain a certain level of attrition. The current lower attrition rate is a byproduct of an improved selection screening process to ensure we are sending Marines to IOC who want to be there, and because we implemented a better pre-IOC preparation during the basic school. Additionally, the drop-on request option instituted during a time when we were trying to increase IOC throughput was eliminated. Marine officers don't quit. I'm confident the quality of infantry officers being produced at IOC remains as high as ever, ensuring we remain the most effective fighting force. I have heard nothing to the contrary from our division commanders. Of the many things that set the Marine Corps apart, our adherence to established standards is one of the most important. Remember that. It's an important sentence, okay? That said, we will continue to make modifications to any and all training and required to ensure that we remain the most effective fighting force. Changes to PFT, CFT, development of force fitness instructors, implementation of a fourth phase of recruit training, the implementation of battle skills tests for all, and the increased emphasis on swimming are examples of this. Our Corps needs our officers to be forward-thinking and forward-looking agents of change, to see where current practices are either counterproductive or inefficient and not simply accept the status quo. As for IOC and how it came to be and has changed over the years and will likely continue to do so, there is a more detailed history of all of this, which I will pass on to you in person when we can talk. But for now, rest assured, the standards are the standards, and they will be met or exceeded by all who are in the privilege to stand in front of a USMC infantry platoon. Signed, General Robert B. Neller. Okay, so let me, before we end, and this is what I want to discuss with a broader group than simply myself here. First, in the letter he says, I have told the IOC director and the staff that any Marine who they believe lacks the physical, mental, or moral attributes to lead infantry Marines in combat will not graduate from IOC. That has always been the case. And it only happened once in my experience that I looked at somebody and said, that guy, he can't do it. Everybody else, everybody's an individual, different physically, different mentally. And you're training them. Your job is to train them. And so when you see somebody that is so far outside of what you see normally, that's not hard to spot. It's easy to spot. And the question is, do you have the moral courage and do you have a documented case that you can bring to him against somebody and that will stand up? In my case, I won't say the lieutenant's name, but he made crazy decisions. I told this story before, but I'll tell it again real quick. There was a weapons platoon live fire that General Kelly, Major Kelly at the time, and General Craparotta was there that they created at IOC, I think. It was them. And what it was designed that you're a weapons platoon and, you're going to support the company attack. Machine guns are going to go here. Mortars are going to go here. And I think there was an assault section that went someplace else. The machine guns get into an Amtrak and en route to their initial firing position, and they displace once. En route to their initial firing position, in Quantico, there's woods, right? It's the Prince William Forest, for God's sake. So there's woods everywhere. So we used to string in a minefield in at a choke point where the woods were just incredibly thick, so there's no way you could drive through them. There was no way around it, and there was this, very, very deep minefield that you didn't have time to clear. So what it was designed to do was force the lieutenant to say, oh, shit, he's got to make a decision in time, right? And so what the appropriate decision was, dismount, grab as much ammunition as we can carry, and let's go, boys. And that's what most people did. This one lieutenant, he looks at the vehicle commander who's right into it. There's these big blue body, anti-tank mines, surface laid on the road. And so he looks at the lieutenant and he says, so there's a minefield, that looks to be about 100 meters long. And the lieutenant looks and, he gets out his map and he's looking and then he turns to the driver and he says, drive through it. And the vehicle turns to the vehicle commander and says, drive through it. I'll take responsibility. And the vehicle commander says, sir, I won't do that. And so they get into a bit of a discussion. It wasn't even an argument. And I think the lieutenant said, no, sir, you're going to kill everybody in this vehicle. Okay? We're not doing it. And so with that, they ultimately dismounted. And so that was brought to our attention. That was probably the third or so decision like that that he had made. I mean, just stuff that was like, what are you thinking about? And so you counsel, you sit down and talk and like, you know, what were you thinking about? And so we boarded him. So, you know, that has always been a case. If and any school, if you don't think somebody has the mental, physical, or, you know, or well, morals different, but that would even come into play, but, you know, you they shouldn't graduate, right? They shouldn't graduate. There's another sentence. There's two other sentences in here, and so pay attention, okay? It has to do with hikes. The weapons company movement was changed to be more realistic to an actual tactical movement. Okay. What that meant was when they looked at the standards in terms of what was required, and they looked at what was actually happening then at IOC, what they did was they looked at what was going on and they said, that's excessive. And I believe what the commandant thought was, I can't defend this in front of the Senate Armed Service Committee when this requirement gets brought. So it has to be made more realistic, which meant lighter. Okay. Which meant lighter. Okay. So the training has to be linked to our standards. Our standards say this. This kind of weight is in no way represented. Okay. So that's my take on that. And then he, in the last paragraph, he says, of the many things that set the infantry, the Marine Corps apart, our adherence to established standards is one of the most important things. All right. So what he's telling you there is we have standards. We've looked at our MOSs, right? We've created those standards. We then went from creating those standards to then looking at our courses. The things that didn't line up in our courses with our standards, we had to modify. So that's what he's saying. The genesis of it is this is going to be scrutinized by members of the Senate Armed Service Committee. And if they believe that we have designed anything to keep women out of infantry MOSs, they're going to kill me for it. Okay, so anything that appears not linked to our standards has to change. Has to change. So, with that said, we'll discuss that. We'll discuss this letter and the response probably on Monday. So, interesting stuff, though. That's in this month's Gazette, just so you know. That'll do it. I would remind you that if you missed the battlefield study with General Neil, go ahead and check it out. My thanks this morning to Bob Nielsen coming on, give us an update with the 100 Entrepreneurs Program. My thanks to Montana Man for coming on, giving us an update on what's going on with the ranch up there in Montana. And then Grant Newsham joined us as well to talk about North Korea. What's ultimately going to happen, and why would the United States, if nobody really believes that he's going to give up his nuclear weapons, what has the United States heard that has caused them to go down this road that the country's going down? Yeah, I think that's interesting. I think it's pretty interesting. What is it? And if you throw out the high and the low, and what are we going to be left with? He won't completely give up his entire program. I mean, if that happens, the whole world will, you know, tip over. So what has the United States found that it's prepared to live with in terms of a freeze, verifiable? What is it? I guess we'll find out in about a month and 2 days. So interesting stuff with Grant Newsham. And the gunner was on. If you have anybody who has migraines that might be related to traumatic brain injuries, IEDs going off, the gunner is a Botox guy, and he kind of explains it. So he's done that before, so always appreciate his patience. So with all that said, have a great afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow. The chef's going to join us. Gunner will be back to his old cell, so everybody, that'll make everybody happy. In the meantime, keep your fingers crossed that this dangerous world that we live in is going to get safer, and it only comes with free nations that are strong, that aren't afraid, forcing other nations, dictatorships, all of them. Yeah, all of them. North Korea, China, Iran, and Russia to play by the rules that the rest of us accept. So hopefully we'll do that. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow on a Thursday. All Marine Radio, out.